The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we will head to both College Station and Fayetteville in a couple of minutes to get you ready for what is easily the biggest game of the weekend in the SEC. Arkansas and A&M in Arlington. Let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285 and check in with Louie in Arkansas. Hello, Louie.
Hey, Paul. I just wanted to say thanks for taking my call. The first thing I was wanting to talk to you about is when Arkansas had Alabama at home several years ago, and Bahal Petrino was our coach. I think that's who he was. And we lost 14-13. And I mean, everybody was in an uproar about Alabama. I'm pretty sure Alabama, when they play, I'll bet you their team is not going to be quite the same look that we've seen when they played Florida. Now, I may be wrong, but, you know, they just got too much talent. The second thing I was going to talk to you about is Arkansas and Texas A&M, which is, you know, our front line, I think we're pretty good. I'm not sure what the front for Texas A&M is like. And I'm not sure when did their quarterback get hurt in the Colorado game? Was it like in the second quarter? I didn't really follow that.
Yeah, it was. I believe it was pretty early in the game, but I'm trying.
Was it pretty early in the game? Well, if that's the case, and if that's, I mean, I know they had to throw in that other quarterback. It seems like he got lined out later in the game, but I don't know. That, to me, kind of indicated that hopefully we might have a chance to win there. And the other thing I'm not real happy about is the fact that we have to go to Jerry's World. When last year we had to play them down there, and then next year we got to play them again at Texas A&M.
I do not know the answer to that. I'll ask our two guests coming up here in a minute, because I thought there was a long-term contract to play at Jerry's World. I know last year that couldn't do that, but somehow they should have been able to make this up. It's just really not fair. And I, even though I've been to Fayetteville recently, I don't know how to answer your question, but I bet JB, who will join us in a couple of minutes, can do so. Ricky is up next in Mississippi. Ricky.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Ricky, great to hear from you.
I tell you, man, the Alabama fan base, boy, I tell you, they remind me of an old song a fellow Mississippian had. His name is Elvis. I'm all shook up.
I'm all shook up. One of his biggest.
Yeah, I'm all shook up. I mean, what was the caller you had? Laura, she's just beside herself, man. They won by 2 points.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I think the deal is that Florida.
Hey, I wonder though, Ricky, is that more of a shot at Florida? The fact that Alabama fans are. I don't know anyone else who wouldn't be happy to win in the swamp. Would you?
that is an awesome place to play. I mean, did they not think that was that they would just go? I guess they thought just gonna walk in there and just, you know, Florida was just gonna hand them the win. But they got, Florida has talent too. I mean, you know, because a lot of players that come out of Florida are on Alabama's team and all the other teams too. But I think that the portal has helped a lot of teams out, man. It's even the playing field, so to speak. And some teams are going to be unexpectedly good. You know, it'd be tougher to play, but if you win, I mean, that's the name of the game, is winning, you know. So I don't understand why they're in such an uproar. I guess, you know, maybe they see some handwriting on the wall. I mean, because they got Ole Miss in a couple of weeks. Maybe they run a little scared. I don't know. I don't know. But the other thing I want to talk about, Paul, was this Mississippi State and LSU coming up.
Yes.
I'm kind of like you on there. I don't know what I'm looking at. I just don't know. I mean, I think State is now, I think their defense is better than people think. I think that's probably what keep them in games, period, even with Memphis. They kept Memphis down pretty good, but when you're not scoring, that's why I don't like this offense too much. I think that it's kind of a high risk, high reward. If you don't, I mean, if the offense is clicking pretty good and they can run the ball a little bit, they can wear a defense down. But when they go this 3.5, because I'm not sure about their offensive line. I think this is still a work in progress with State's offensive line. And it's just a complicated type of scheme. And I'm optimistic, but I just don't know, man. We don't know what LSU is. It's just going to be an intriguing game to me.
Yeah, I can't wait. To me, I know the other game is bigger from a national standpoint, but I think from an intrigue standpoint, I'm probably more interested in this one. Ricky, you be well, and don't lose that number. Corey is up next. Hey, Corey, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, this is Corey from Louisville. How are you?
We are doing great, Corey. Thank you.
Good deal. Look, Bama fan here, and I'm going to go off the script today. I'm not even going to talk about Alabama. I said my piece the other day, but I wanted to talk to about my brothers in the SEC. I mean, I'm an SEC fan. And as you mentioned earlier in your show, Florida, I can remember a time when Florida and Tennessee used to be one of the highlight SEC games. So with that said, Tennessee's dropped off over the years, haven't been good since they fired Phil Fulmer. Do you think that Heupel's the answer? You know, should they be looking for somebody else? Does he recruit well? What's kind of the story there in Tennessee that they can't bounce back?
Well, I don't think they should be doing anything other than trying to win with Josh Heupel right now. But at some point, you do have to take stock, and that point hasn't come. The reason Tennessee is in this position is that they have made one bad decision on top of another. They've had a dearth of leadership. They've had a lot of change at the athletic director position. And, you know, since Phil Fulmer, they've gone through Lane Kiffin and Derek Dooley, Butch Jones, Jeremy Pruitt, and now. And that's all in a relatively short period of time. So that's why the program is in such bad shape. They also lost, countless players in the portal when Pruitt was fired. So now it's just a matter of, can Josh Heupel stop the bleeding, inspire people to believe that this program is on its way back? And we're going to talk about that a little bit later with John Adams, who's been in Knoxville for 35 years covering this team.
Gotcha. Yeah, I appreciate it. It would be interesting to, you know, see what he has to say, because I've heard from multiple people. It sounds like, you know, they can't seem to get the hire that they are targeting, you know, as if nobody wants the job. And I just can't seem to understand why that is.
Well, I think when you look at college football, it's not always the case, but, you know, most of the successful programs have continuity, and it's the only way. And if you don't have that, you're probably going to be going through a lot of turmoil. So I think the key for Tennessee is try to avoid changing coaches every 3 years. And if they can, maybe things will settle down. But if your program isn't winning, you want to change. You want to think maybe there's a better solution. Anyway, we're up against a break. We will bring in two guys who know this rivalry pretty well. One from the A&M side, Billy Lucci, and Josh Berticini from the Arkansas side. They will join us next.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you here, and we are looking forward to getting a couple of gents who cover A&M in Arkansas. Billy Lucci is that face you see in the middle of the screen, and JB on the right. Let me start with a question. I should know the answer to this, but either one of you guys grab it. Why the game last year, pandemic year, was in College Station. Why didn't this game go back to Fayetteville this year and put a 1-year hiatus on the contract? Anybody know the answer?
JB.
I mean, Billy, I was under the impression that this was going to be a home-and-home deal last year when A&M got the game, so I wish I had a clear answer on that. I know that the matchup in Jerry World is under contract through 2024, so I know it is the belief of both schools, I believe, Billy, that they're going to move it to campuses soon, but maybe Billy knows. I don't know why that game wasn't reciprocated.
You know what? I can tell you the A&M fans feel a lot like the Arkansas fans in that they want the game at Kyle Field every other year. And quite frankly, they loved in 2013 going up to Fayetteville and kind of renewing that SWC thing, much like Texas did a couple weeks ago. So I think if you're going to look on who to blame, I guess we'll have to blame the old Razorback on that one. That would be Jerry Jones, because I think he's got a death grip on this thing and he's not letting it go until that contract's up.
Well, he does give a few dollars to the university, JB, so maybe we'll give him a pass on that. But I'm like you guys. I mean, I've had enough of Arlington. I'm ready to take this to the campuses. Speaking of campuses, we saw you a couple of weeks ago, JB. The Razorbacks are ready for action. A lot of people think they're going to win this game. Just in terms of going into it, what's the level of optimism, JB?
But you got a feel for it here a couple of weeks ago, Paul, and it's just kept building ever since. That win over Texas was, as we discussed in your show, an enormous building block for this program. Got them back on the map, certainly nationally, with the way they played. And yet it all comes back to this game, Paul, and you've said it for years now, and I agree with you. Until Arkansas can beat Texas A&M head-to-head, it's really hard to take the rebuild seriously. So 9 straight losses. You know, it's kind of unsettling for Hog fans because the dads, the grandpas, the grandmas, they remember dominance back in the day, not just winning. They remember Arkansas winning 2 out of every 3 against A&M over the course of, you know, a century. And then here in the SEC, it's 9-0 Texas A&M. So 2 very different stories in the history of this matchup. And Arkansas needs it bad. I know A&M needs it to continue on the path for a playoff. But Arkansas certainly needs it on the path back to stability and respectability here in 2021.
Yeah, and Billy, I would say A&M does need it pretty badly, because it just seemed like about 3 weeks ago A&M was waiting for Alabama to arrive in 2 weeks. And now after it seemed like a loss against Colorado, much like Alabama didn't lose, but it felt like it to Florida. What is the state of this program right now?
I think the program is in as good a shape as it's been since I've been covering it, Paul. But if you're talking about what's the state right now for this week and this season, I absolutely think A&M needs this game. And I think Arkansas and A&M are the one thing that's similar between them, besides the fact that they're both going to try to go out on Saturday and physically beat each other up. The other similarity is that these next 2 weeks, I think, define their entire season. He just nailed it on the Arkansas and how they need to beat A&M. And then with Georgia up next, I mean, and you look at A&M, And I know it's Arkansas, Mississippi State. Now, all of a sudden, Arkansas carries that number 16 by their name. They're surging with momentum, as they should be. But Arkansas, Mississippi State, like you said, that Alabama game is just kind of looming out there. And if you go through all this, and if they're able to win Saturday and then get Mississippi State at home, the conversation, just as quickly as it kind of shifted negative, and I think rightfully so, I don't think A&M's played very good football yet, it'll shift completely in the other direction in 2 weeks. So I think both teams' seasons are defined by these next two Saturdays.
And, Billy, Jimbo Fisher was here 2 days ago. He seemed pretty confident. Now, again, he's a coach, and he's not going to come in here with a down face. But what is your level of confidence in Calzada and his ability to lead this team right now?
I'm confident in Calzada. I'm not confident in Calzada going against Barry Odom on 3rd and 8 and 3rd and 9 and 10 every down. So to me, it's actually it's the running game. And can A&M run the football successfully on early downs? That's why they went up 42-17 through three quarters against the very similar Arkansas defense last year. Kellen Mond was like a surgeon out there throwing the ball, but they ran the ball successfully on early downs. Kellen threw it successfully early on. And that was that might have been A&M's best offensive performance of the year. I don't think they're going to have their best offensive performance Saturday, but they have to have a good performance. The one thing I'll say, guys, under Jimbo Fisher in 3 years, A&M is 14-3 in what I would call 14-4 in fourth quarter games. Two of those were on the road at Georgia and against the national champs from Clemson. So they've really done a good job. If this thing gets deep in the game and A&M just kind of has to find a way to win it, and JB, you can attest, that's kind of what they've done to get to this 9 in a row against Arkansas, because they've all been close except for a couple of exceptions.
JB?
I mean, you're on the money, Billy. It's been a toss-up kind of series. And what's it, 5 of the last 7 meetings have come down to the final possession, final score. And, I mean, we've seen this series be high-scoring. We've seen it be very low scoring. I know the over-under right now, according to the wise guys in Vegas, is 47 points, which sounds kind of low. But at the same time, I can see the game taking on a very physical nature, like Billy just said. And I think he breaks the game down on the money. Both teams are going to challenge the other team's quarterback. Calzada for A&M, relatively inexperienced. KJ Jefferson for Arkansas, truthfully, not that much more experience. Only a few games this year under his belt. So both quarterbacks have to show you they can beat you with the arm. Both teams are going to try to physical you up front and run the ball. And both teams have played really good defense so far. I know Texas A&M's defense is statistically as good as anybody's in the country, but Arkansas's defense is playing very well, like you said, Billy, under Barry Odom right now. So I feel like it's probably going to be another one-possession type game. And I'll say this, special teams has been a disaster for Arkansas in this matchup. Many times it's come down to one or two special teams plays. If Arkansas is finally going to win this thing, they cannot have big special teams blunders in the course of this one. No way.
Yeah. And JB, I want to follow up on that, because I mean, I know I read something today. Some pundit was just saying, you know, Saturday the hype machine goes down the drain at Arkansas, all the buildup. And I know that has to be a concern. I'm sure you hear it from your callers and your compatriots. So address that for a second. I know the win over Texas was great, but these next couple of weeks could undo a lot of that success.
Yeah, I mean, if we're going to have a real conversation about it, you don't get the glory without the risk, right? It's the nature of sports, especially in a big-time conference like the SEC. So the stakes are high. And as you say, Paul, and Billy, you know it. I mean, the stakes get higher and higher the more you win. So it was nice to beat Texas, like you said. And it's really good to be 3-0. But Arkansas doesn't have any SEC wins yet this year, you know? And so you go out and you lose to A&M again, I know what you're going to say, Paul. You're going to say, hey, nice story, but same old Arkansas. So this would be a huge win to get the thing going in SEC play. And as you brought up, Georgia next week, Ole Miss on the road the week after, then it's Auburn. We're just getting started here. So absolutely, Paul, if Arkansas fans and Arkansas players, which I don't think they will, but if they start celebrating this thing like the season story has already been written, they're in for a wake-up call the rest of the way. last year Arkansas had a great first 6 weeks and kind of faded the last five, 6 weeks. So I think it's off to a great start. We'll see where they can take it from here, Paul.
Hey, Billy, I have a sneaking suspicion A&M fans really enjoyed that Arkansas win over Texas. Take it from there, though, because, I mean, they now – I mean, I'm sure there's some respect, but I've talked to enough A&M fans that they do look at Arkansas as their little brother, don't they?
Yes, some. But I think because the games have been so close and so many of them remember what he's talking about, the old SWC days, it's part of why A&M doesn't want the game there, I think, because fans go up there, they have these unusually close games that they don't think should be close. But in the last year, I knew a lot of Aggies that were very concerned about that Sam Pittman team and Felipe Franks coming in. And this year, yes, Paul, absolutely. Aggie fans, including myself, thoroughly enjoyed watching that game in Fayetteville, but almost too much. It kind of got to a point where you're like, all right, Arkansas, we didn't want you to look that good. Just wanted to see a win. So, I think that'll impact the A&M players too, because not only have a lot of them played in close games against Arkansas, but they all grew up watching both the Aggies and Longhorns. Very few grew up not watching one or the other. So there is a level of respect in that A&M locker room for the guys that play in the burnt orange. And they watch Arkansas run for 330 and stomp a mud hole in them. So when they're watching tape this week, I have to think that'll absolutely get their attention. And I think it's certainly got the attention of the A&M fans. I think it'll be a hell of a turnout. And you mentioned this is like an elimination game for both teams in game one of SEC play. So there's not an expanded playoff. It starts for the Razorbacks and Aggies on Saturday, and I think both sides know it.
JB, how do you see the game playing out?
I think I think Billy's on point so much of that. The way he says it's an elimination game, I think theoretically, Billy, a team like Texas A&M probably could lose this game and still find a way to be in a playoff at the end of the year if they want out. But, I mean, good luck doing that against an SEC gauntlet. So, certainly – A&M's playing for big stakes in Arkansas. There's like Paul said earlier, there's little margin for error here. It's a great story right now, but you start slipping up, we look up in 2-3 weeks, you're back to 500. I don't really see the huge jump forward there. So, Paul, really, I think it's a lower scoring game. Look, every time we predict it, it goes the other way. It's a lower scoring type game that I think is close into the fourth quarter. That's what history says. That's what Vegas says. That's what Billy says. That's what I think. And as much as we think it's going to play out like that, watch this thing be a shootout. So I don't know. I got a feeling that Arkansas's got as good an opportunity to win this game as they've had in a good 5-6 years. They have the firepower on offense at receiver. They've got a good offensive line despite a couple of knick-knack injuries. And I really believe this defense under Barry Odom is going to play a really strong game. So will Arkansas win? Time going to tell. But I think low scoring – I'm going to go Arkansas 20-17, Billy. You tell your Aggie fans I believe that's what's going to happen, okay?
I will, and I'm going to tell you, I everything you said, ditto, 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 timeout. I've got A&M winning by the same score, and I have said that. So we see this game exactly the same. I think a late turnover produced in the red zone by the A&M defense to hold it off. I think it's going to be like a lot of them we've seen. I'm really looking forward to it. I think the winner of this game, their season turns.
Well, we'll say this, Billy. I mean, if for some reason A&M slips up, then you just – I don't know what the phrase is in Texas, but you just move all the chips to the middle of the table and you got one shot at salvaging it against Alabama. But to me it's so intriguing, JB – if Arkansas wins this game, a game that I frankly never thought about until this moment becomes bigger than life, and that's Arkansas at Georgia.
I mean, wouldn't that be something, Paul? I think if Arkansas wins this game, you're going to have a hard time keeping them out of the top 10. I mean, maybe you put them at 11 or 12, but they're going to have a pretty impressive resume, and Georgia's going to be whatever they're going to be, 2, 3, or 4. So, yeah, like we said, the stakes will only get higher. And for Razorback fans, I mean, you got to go back to Bobby Petrino for a season like this, where every week felt bigger than the week before. Let's hope the results at the end of the day are a little different for Sam Pittman.
Wow, when you Billy, when you have to go back to Bobby Petrino for references, you're digging pretty deep, aren't you?
It hasn't been, you know, the transition. Don't forget, Petrino put it on A&M 3 years in a row, two beatings, and then one big comeback. And then then they brought in John L. Smith for that year, and I feel like everything's changed since. But you talk about that Georgia game, and if A&M can win this game, you know, Haynes King will be back. He'll be back in probably a few weeks.
Okay.
If they can get through this one, they host Mississippi State, just like that Arkansas-Georgia possibility. Paul, who knows? Maybe you'll be here in a couple weeks for A&M-Bama, and it could be the first time the game's been that big here since Johnny Manziel
I think we all remember that game in 2013. It's about that game, and we'll talk about some other time, but it was about as big of atmosphere as I've ever seen. Let's hope we see more of those. Guys, thanks for dropping by. It's just something wrong when A&M and Arkansas guys get along as well as you do.
Thanks, Billy. Thanks, Paul. See you guys. Go home.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Billy, JB. Appreciate both of you being here. We're 20-17 will be the prediction.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Great to have all of you with us. And let's get back to the calls at 855-242-7285. Bill in Pennsylvania, you're on the air. Hello.
Good afternoon, Paul. Listen, you had a caller, I believe, yesterday who asked about Florida and their non-conference games over the years.
Right.
I have an interesting stat that you may get a kick out of.
Sure.
Florida has not played a non-conference game out of the state of Florida in 30 years. Their last one was at Syracuse up at the Dome. I believe Spurrier was the coach then. I don't remember the score.
So you mean a real non-conference road game, right?
Non-conference road game out of the state of Florida, right. And I believe Spurrier was the coach, but Syracuse beat them quite badly. I can't remember what the score was, but I thought that was quite interesting when I heard that.
Yeah, I remember when we were down in Dallas a couple of years ago when they played Michigan, and I heard that was the first time they had gone. Other than Florida State, of course, but that was the first time they had gone outside the state and played a game against a non-SEC or non-Florida team in a long time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how those things happen. They just do, but I know they have a lot of games on the schedule in the future, though.
Yeah, that was the Michigan game. That was at a neutral site, though.
But Bill, let me explain why I think that happened. And you know, if you go back to the 80s, 90s, and even really until the last 4 or 5 years. Very few schools had a tougher non-conference game on their schedule every year than Florida, because they played Florida State home and away, and that was one of the – I mean, the stats speak for themselves, especially when Bowden was there, and to a degree when Jimbo was there, because he did have a good run. So I think the mentality of Jeremy Foley and others, why do we need to go somewhere else when we already play FSU every year, which is quite often a top-five team?
Yeah, well, even Georgia, though, until they went to play at Notre Dame a couple of years ago, they hadn't left.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the Georgia Tech game doesn't really qualify as in the past as being in the same league. But yeah, in fairness, that's what Georgia, South Carolina, Florida, Kentucky. I mean, they always play that season-ending game. And depending on the year, but Florida State of all those opponents other than Clemson has been as good as anybody. Why would for example, why would South Carolina go play a game at Michigan when they have to go to Clemson every year or every other year?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, but I just I found that interesting.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad you told me that. And by the way, if we had expanded the playoff to 12 schools, which we thought we would today until everything came apart, then you would see more of those games. But not now, not until this thing is settled. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it very, very much. Trey is in South Carolina. Hello, Trey.
Hey, Paul. How are you doing?
Trey, we're doing great. Thank you.
Hey, yeah. So my Gamecocks didn't, you know, things didn't go as planned in Athens, but, you know, we showed a little life down there. You know, first touchdown scored all year. Luke Doty looked great, in my opinion. You know, we got Kentucky coming to town. I heard y'all are coming to town, SEC Network. I think we're going to win a high score. I think our defense is going to make a few key plays, force a few turnovers. I know they got a pretty good deep passing attack, but I think our defense will make a few timely plays. And, hey, what do you say we get a burger in Columbia this weekend if you got a chance?
Yeah, where would you recommend hooking up?
Either Polly's Front Porch or we go to Hall's and get a burger.
Okay. Well, I'm a beef guy, so let me I'll check in with you when I get there. Hey, thanks, Trey. Let's go to Paul in Arkansas. Hey, Paul, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Hey, Paul, good afternoon. Real quick and in a hurry. I bleed red. There's no little buts about that one. I expect to win, but I hope to, you know, pull it out a little bit better. Why are we ranked 16th, and I'll hang up and listen?
I don't know. I mean, I think there's a hesitancy by pollsters to put Arkansas too high. I think it may be more of an indicator that they really just, you know, Texas was a 20-23 ranked team, and while it was impressive, it was at home. I think that number would change pretty quickly this weekend. Pollsters like to take their time when a non-ranked team makes it into the polls. Jim is in Florida. You're on the air. Hello, Jim.
Good afternoon, Paul. Before I talk about the Missouri Boston College, I just want to make a few comments. By the way, I got that, Ricky. Don't lose your number. I got that. All right.
Thank you. I'm glad somebody
you make me
did.
Look, I'm battling cancer, so I find your humor very subtle humor.
Well, thank you for. By the way, I know this can't be an easy situation, but we're certainly thinking about you as you move forward.
Yeah, I liked last week when the guy from Alabama, his neighbor almost killed him. He had his bad heart, and he came home, and he hugged his neighbor. And you said you hugged your neighbor. And the other one was the Georgia-South Carolina game when the guy was going across the board. He was favoring South Carolina over Georgia.
Oh, yeah.
And he was going position by position, and you subtly put in across the board.
Well, you know, I must tell you this, Jim. Sometimes you really don't know if anybody is listening to anything. I mean, television is a strange animal where it's a visual medium, and I watch television half the time with no sound. So I do this for my own entertainment and hope that maybe somebody picked up on it. Well, so I'm really glad that that you're listening out there.
Well, I'm from New York. We got that subtle sense of humor. You
sure
fit right in. Yeah, and I got to apologize. Well,
hey, Jim, when you have a mother that from Brooklyn and that's all you hear growing up, the busting your chops, you get used to it.
Yes, that's it. Chop. One other thing, real quick. I'm sorry I kind of sandbagged you the other day about what you thought of that coach, you know, Urban, right?
Hey, Jim.
I apologize. You didn't beat around the bush. You came right out with it. So I'm not going to ask you about some of my – we think alike. I'm not going to ask you about Brian Kelly or Debo or – okay? So don't worry
good
about
I'm
that.
I'm glad you didn't.
But all right, because we think a lot, I think.
We do.
But and the thing about the hot seat with the Queen's phone book, I told some of my – I got a big cop family up in New York, and they were hysterical about the Queen's phone book.
That was one of my more enjoyable calls of the year.
That was good. Let me tell you, that was good. For the record, I never saw anything like that. I worked 20 years in the street, and we didn't carry around phone books. We had no phone books. But getting to the Missouri-Boston College game, you know, that, I know that guy from Missouri is a little bit of a character, but to come on, and he was dissing Boston College, dissing, you know, Northeast recruiting football, you know. He gave a lot of bulletin board material. Hope he backs it up.
Hey, by the way, Jim, the coach at BC said today, hey, if you guys want us to come down there, we can get on a plane. We're sorry to be inconveniencing you.
Yeah. And by the way, the Boston College doesn't have a bad team, so he better watch out. And they're playing in Boston. That's okay. Paul, I got some great stories. I can't tell them all in the air.
Well, Jim, I look forward to this every day. You keep calling, and I'll be thinking of you as you work your way through your battle. Hey, thank you so much. We're up against the break. Back with much more.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Asking Tennessee fans, would they rather beat Alabama for the first time since 06 or win in the Swamp for the first time since 03. Those are kind of a Hobson's choice here, isn't it? Bobby is up next. Good afternoon, Bobby.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I would like to talk to you about the semi-history of Tennessee football. I guess I don't want to go all the way back to the Swanee and the Vanderbilt days, but when you were in school, who were Tennessee's biggest rivals? I know Alabama was up there. Was it Auburn and Georgia?
Yeah, I would say the two biggest rivals were, interestingly, Alabama one, Auburn second. The reason why the Auburn game was so important was the Auburn game was always the first SEC game, so you didn't want to mm-hmm. lose that one.
Yep.
What's funny is, now this was a long time ago, when I was in school, Tennessee didn't play Georgia and Florida.
Oh, yeah?
No, they were, it was a, the schedule was Auburn would be the first SEC game, and I'm trying to remember, then there would be either a combination of whether Ole Miss, a bunch of other schools. And then the regular games the permanent games were Auburn, Alabama, Vanderbilt, Kentucky, and then you would see somebody else or two other games worked in there every year. I think there were only six conference games or seven conference games.
Okay, well, how many in total were they playing during the summer?
I'm trying to remember. I think it was 10. I'm going to go back and check a schedule from that era, but because I really don't remember.
Okay. Okay. Well, no, thank you for weighing in on that. I guess the reason I called was I saw the Twitter question y'all had posed.
Yeah, let me read you a schedule. I just went back to 1977, which was Johnny Major's first year at Tennessee. This is interesting.
Okay.
So they did play Florida that year, but it was only I think it was the first time they played Florida in about 7 years. They played Oregon, excuse me. They played Auburn, Alabama, Florida, Ole Miss, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt.
And that was the SEC schedule.
Yeah, I'm trying to think what the they played 11 games. So I was wrong. Yeah, they played 11 regular games.
Okay. Very interesting to know.
I thought
Thank
they played
Paul.
Less than that, but
I guess to weigh in on my end of the Florida-Alabama debate, I guess I'm 42. So when I was coming up, the Tennessee-Alabama series always had these streaks of runs. You know, Alabama would take 5 or 6, Tennessee would take 6 or 7, Alabama would take 7 or 8. You know, and it just went back and forth like that, but we could never get over the Florida hump. The times we did usually turned into a very good season. So I guess I would have to say beating Florida.
Yeah, Bobby.
I guess I'm right on the cusp of the Florida Alabama rivalry.
I think if you're under the age of 50, that would be easily understandable. Older people grew up with the Alabama game being the be-all, end-all. But I don't think the Alabama game matters a whole lot at all anymore, and that's coming from a graduate. Darrell Libet is up next.